Be attentive now to a reading of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 25th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Look, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.' This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." I'll invite the children to come up. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's so good to see all of you in God's house today. I can hardly contain myself. But then I'm not going to contain myself. I'm just going to tell you how happy I am that you're here.
Really happy.
Really happy. So happy that I'm going to tell you a story. We just heard the gospel story that Jesus told. So what did he told a parable. What's a parable? I'll give you a deep theological meaning of a parable that was told to me by a 12-year-old in Sunday school. It's the best definition yet. A parable is a story that Jesus told that helps people to answer their own questions. Whoa, pretty cool, huh? Yeah. So, this morning we have a parable story from Jesus about what? Were you paying attention? Some of you were, but some of you were not, maybe. So, what was that parable about? A wedding. Have any of you seen the movie Bridesmaids?
No.
Probably not. Not. I'm not even recommending it. But it's a movie, and it's about bridesmaids. And what are bridesmaids? Yes. They show up when there's a wedding, and they help the bride, okay, to get ready and, you know, get all the chicken wire situated so that the dress is all perfect and everything is great and the hair is just the way it needs to be and all that. Yeah, that's what bridesmaids do. And they show up, and they usually, there's like a bunch of them. So in this case, in this story, how many were there? How many?
100.
No, not 100.
5.
No, there were more than 5.
10.
Nope. How many? 10, yes. And it was the job of the bridesmaids to announce the coming of the groom. Who's the groom?
Jesus.
the guy, all right? So the bride is the woman, and the bridesmaid is, or there are other women, and the groom is the man who's going to get married to the bride, okay? Bride and groom, got it? All right. So the bridesmaids were each given lamps, and they had to bring these lamps to announce the coming of the groom as he was coming in to get married. And so they had lamps. Now, in the interest of the fire marshal, I did not bring lamps. But I need five of you to have lights. So you can have one there. You can have one. Do you like one of those? Okay. Here's one for you. Yep. We got more. There's one. You don't get to keep these, by the way. I might need these next year when we have this same lesson. All right. You want one too? Okay. All right. So, whoops, one more. Okay. So, 10 of you who are bridesmaids in this story, stand up. Okay. Stand up. Even though, yep, stand up. Now, how many of those are working? Count up. Keep them on. One, two, three. Yours work? No. Four. How many? It's supposed to be five that are working and five that are not. Why are the ones that are not working not working?
One, two, three, four.
How come? Well, in the story, they didn't bring any oil, but for you,
no batteries.
No batteries, right? No batteries. So if it was dark and this was the only way, let me see this for a second. And this was the only way for you to find your way to announce the bridegroom? Would it be a very happy announcement with one of these?
No.
No, why?
It's not working.
There's no batteries in this one. But those of you who have them, what would you, oh, bright. Whoa, those are amazing. They bring light. And so Jesus was telling the difference between people who prepare for him to come and the people who were unprepared for him to come. So those of you who have bright lights, would you lead us around the church?
Yes.
As if we were welcoming the bridegroom? All right, come on, stand up. You're going to lead us all. We're the wedding party. Let's go. Come on. Let's go. Lead the way. Show the lights. Yippee. All right. Good. All right. So that was good. You did a really good job. Hey, congregation, did they do a good job? All right. Thank you. That's the story for today. That's the parable. It's good to have you do that. You can leave your lights right there on the table. And then you can go to Sunday school. You bet. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Amen.
It is exceptionally fun to be with you this morning. And especially now because, you know, sometimes the only times that people get to see me is when there's trouble. Yeah, you're laughing. But, you know, that's the way it goes. And it's really good to be with you here when there's not trouble. And the last time I was here was when we had a call vote for your new pastor. And I'm really pleased with the way that went, and I hope you are too. So here we are in this season of the church year. What's this season called? Oh, that's a good answer, but it's the wrong answer. It's not Pentecost. What is it? Tricky question. Ah, come on. It's right in the bulletin, yes. No, not yet. That's another good one. It's coming, all right? A couple weeks from now, we start Advent. But what's this season called? Yes. Fall. That's true. Out there where the leaves are falling, yes, it is fall. Yes, but in the church, we give it another name. The Episcopalians call it the ordinary time. Not because it's ordinary, but because it's ordered, all right? But what do we call it? The season after Pentecost. Thank you. Pentecost is a day of celebration in the church year. Flames coming out of people's head, languages being understood, all that stuff, the creation of the church. And then for 24 weeks, depending on the year, we have the season after the Pentecost when what do? We learn how to be the church. We learn, again, as if for the first time, how to be the church. And so Jesus talks in our lesson today in this wonderful parable about the wise and the foolish maidens. It is a good story, and it preceded Jesus, by the way. He didn't make it up. He adapted it from ancient literature, and you can read that ancient literature if you go online about this parable. And a parable is indeed a story that Jesus told that helps people to answer their own question. So what's the question? Come on, Corgan told me you were really sharp. What's the question that we have to answer in the season after the Pentecost? Are you ready? That's not a bad one. How to be the church? Yes. What's the kingdom gonna be like when it comes? What's the kingdom gonna be like? What do we have to look forward to when Jesus comes? What do we have to look forward to when the day of reckoning occurs and we all are swept up, as St. Paul says, into the air? Or as Woody Allen says, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be around when it happens. So what are we looking forward to when the kingdom comes? And Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms, Jesus is coming. Look busy. Yes, I used to have this remember screensavers on your computers? I had this it was called Screen Savior. And one of them was that, you know, Jesus knocking on the door, and it said, Jesus is coming, look busy. But seriously, what is the kingdom going to look like? And what Jesus talks to us about in this parable is what it means to live a life of expectation and joy, and above all, gratitude. Now, you must know that there is a large, long, complex system for calling pastors in the ELCA. And you know that because it took you long enough. It took me long enough. I had multiple candidates. And the first contact we have with candidates who say they want to come to New England, I mean, the first thing we ask them is why would you want to come to New England? Like, we're 0.5% of the population. It's really cold here. And, of course, the people from North Dakota say, of course, it's cold here, too. But the second question we ask is, how do you cultivate generosity as a pastor? How do you cultivate generosity? So the first question is, how do you personalize it for the pastor? cultivate. In other words, it's something that can be learned and fostered and developed, like cultivating crops. And then you get to the generosity word. What does that mean? That's a very Lutheran thing to say. What does this mean, right? What does this mean? Well, let's talk about generosity. One of the first models for generosity that I knew when I was growing up was a man named Michael Anthony. Who knows who Michael Anthony is? Somebody's Googling it. Lee, go ahead. Who's Michael Anthony?
He was the millionaire deliverer of checks to people.
Yes. Now, did you first hear that on radio or television? All right, my brothers, who are far older than me and far older than you, remember when The Millionaire was a radio show, and after that it became a television show. It was one of my favorite shows, and it was this man named Michael Anthony who looked unlike anybody in my neighborhood, all right? He was tall, he wore a waistcoat, right, and a Hamburg hat, and he would appear at the door of somebody, some unsuspecting person, knock on the door, ring the doorbell, and they'd answer the door, and he'd say, in his great radio announcer's voice, this rich, deep, resonant voice, "Hello, my name is Michael Anthony, and I am the executive secretary to John Beresford Tipton, and I have a cashier's check for you in the amount of $1 million, tax-free." And he'd just give it to them. And the look on their faces was just astounding. Here's $1 million. Now, this is in the 1950s, right? So $1 million was really worth $1 million then. I don't know what it's worth today. You figure it out. Somebody will Google it, right? But they would be astounded by this unbelievable gesture. And the rest of the show, which it was a weekly show, was about what they did with it, what they chose to do with what they'd been given. Of course, the other person who we hardly ever saw was John Beresford Tipton, who spent all of his days, at least on television, in a solarium. Another thing nobody in my neighborhood had, right? That was attached to a big mansion. Now, some of you may live in mansions. Some of you may have solaria, plural. Right? But John Beresford Tipton's was filled with palm trees, and it was warm and sunny no matter what the weather was outside, and he sat in this huge papasan chair, and he was almost ready to die every week. Like, his voice was very weak, and he would summon Michael Anthony, and he would hold up this envelope and say, "Mike, Mike, this is this week's millionaire." And he'd give it to Michael Anthony, and he would go out and do what I told you he would do. I wanted to be Michael Anthony when I was growing up in the worst way. And nobody could figure out why I didn't want to be John Beresford Tipton. Like, wouldn't you like to be the guy that cuts the checks? No, I want to be the guy that delivers them. And we would, you know, like on rainy days, we would play millionaire, right? Some people would play like ship or bus. We played millionaire. I don't know. You could talk to the psychologists and figure out what was wrong with us. But I wanted to be, in the worst way, Michael Anthony. And that was the beginning of the cultivation phase for me. The next was to be the dollar philanthropist. Any of you dollar philanthropists? I bet you are. Have you ever been through that toll booth going up to New Hampshire where the toll is $1? And have you ever paid the toll for somebody behind you without letting them know? Isn't it fun, Lee? It's so much fun to do that, because you go up, you give $2 to the toll taker, and you say, "This is for the person in back of me." And then you just pull away, and you look in your rearview mirror as the person in back of you goes up to the toll taker, tries to give him a dollar, and they're like astounded that someone would pay the toll for them, that someone would just, for a buck, have the pleasure of watching their face turn to incredulity. It was so much fun. You can, the bishop's number, by the way, 508-791-1530, if you think that's really bizarre. But it was so much fun. It was so much fun. I'll give the number out later, too. Operators are standing by, even now, to take your call. It was so much fun to be a dollar philanthropist. And then I turned it up a notch as Emeril, right, would say. I turned it up a notch, and I started buying meals for strangers in diners. So I'd go to the diner, I'd spot some family that looked like they were pretty down on their luck. Maybe they cultivated looking down on their luck, I don't know, but I would just ask the wait staff person to come over, and I'd say, put their tab on my card. And it was like, you know, $20, $25. It was so much fun. Do you know what I was practicing when I did that? The biblical practice of tzedakah. Tzedakah, not the singer. Neil Tzedakah. It starts with a T. You can Google that too. And the philosopher, the Jewish philosopher Maimonides, came up with 10 levels of tzedakah. And it starts with, you're giving something away with no expectation of return, and you're doing it anonymously. No one will ever find out that you gave that to them. And the lowest level is, you're giving something away with the expectation that it will be returned, and you have identified yourself to the person to whom you entrust it. And then there's all these levels in between. So that's the first Jewish word you can, Hebrew word you can learn for today, tzedakah, with a T. Got it? Okay. Here's the next one, dayenu. Dayenu. Dayenu means enough. During the Seder meal, we sing a song. Do you do a Seder in this congregation? If you don't, it's worth going someplace where they do or having one. Because it's a meal of remembrance and a meal of gratitude. And all of the things that you supposedly eat at the meal are symbolic of the gratitude that we have for God for bringing us out of slavery and into freedom. Out of slavery and into freedom. And the song goes, die, die, enu, die, die, enu, die, die, enu, die, enu, die, enu, die, enu, okay. And it goes on, and then it is enough. And by enough, what I mean, and the song means, is it would have been enough to free us from Egypt and the yoke of slavery. It would have been enough to have fed us with manna in the wilderness. It would have been enough when we murmured and cried to give us quail when we asked for it and to give us water, and it's enough. How many of us are grateful that we have enough? Dayenu, it's enough. It's enough. So gratitude can be cultivated. This culture of gratitude is something that you practice here. I learned that in the call process, how much gratitude there is here at Emmanuel in Hartford. You guys take old bikes, fix them up, and give them away. Why do you do that? Because you're in a state of gratitude. You serve meals. What's it called? Spark? Is it? Am I right about that? Sprout. Okay. That's a growth thing, right? Sprout. You do that. Do you have any expectation that that kindness will ever be repaid? Uh-uh, it's a Jesus thing. It's free. Nobody has to earn it to show up and get a meal with Sprout. What else do you do? Tell me.
Manna.
Manna. What's manna?
We serve dinner to the homeless at Christ Church Cathedral.
Oh, with Episcopalians? Did you have to learn to speak Episcopalian? Oh, I understand they can be gracious too. Yes, and thankful. Yeah, thanks. What else do you do?
Church by the pond.
Church by the pond. And it's not ducks that you... No. Whoever shows up. Yeah, good. What else do you do? Every month? Wow. That's good. That's good. Because there are still hungry people. Jesus says, the poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. Now that's one thing I take issue with Jesus, because we always do have Jesus with us, don't we? And aren't we grateful for that? I mean, the model for how to be grateful comes from God's self. Think about this. This is the God that created the universes. Now, when I was growing up, it was the world. And then the universe got bigger because it went from the world to the universe. And now we know there's more than one universe. God got bigger. God got more gracious to God's people. And there's no end to God's grace, is there? Because even though we are sinners, we just confess that with each other, God is gracious enough to forgive our sins. And then Jesus says, go and do likewise. I am certain that there is no end to the gratitude that you are able to show. And I don't know about you, but I do those gratitude things for myself because I feel like I'm a more genuine person when I do that. I don't do it with any expectation that it's going to be returned or that I have a place in heaven because of that. I have a place in heaven because of Jesus who died on the cross for me. That's enough. That's enough. And for those of you who are looking to be, you know, start small. Do the, you know, put the coins in at the cash register. Give the dollar toll. Do something without any expectation of return. And it'll grow on you. I promise it'll grow on you. Because it's not about money or the amount. It's about how your heart has been changed by being in community, this beloved community to which you belong. This community here at Emmanuel, this community here at Frog Hollow, the place where Frog Hollow meets the state legislature. Think about it. Think about what a great place this is and how grateful you are that it's here. I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful to God for you. And let the people say, amen.
Amen.
Oh, you could do better than that. Let the people say,
amen.
Thank you. 508-791-1530.